Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers to questions do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but is limited to the dissemination of general information. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the options presented. Certified Advisory Corp is registered as an investment advisor with the SEC and only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements.
Stay tuned for On the Money, Central Florida's most listened to financial call-in show, brought to you by Certified Financial Group in Altamont Springs. It's the only show hosted exclusively by certified financial planner professionals. Monday through Friday, their CFPs provide financial planning and investment advice for a fee. But on Saturdays, the advice is absolutely free and has been for more than 30 years for their WDBO listeners. If you have a financial question you want answered by real fiduciaries, the lines are wide open. Call 407-869-9800. That's 407-869-9800. And enjoy the rest of the show.
Hey, happy Saturday, Central Florida, and welcome into another edition of On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. Those phone lines are open at 844-580-9326. That's 844-580-WDBO. Express lines right into the offices here at 844-580-WDBO. Financial Times calls them one of the top 300 firms in the country. So you know that they know what they're talking about. 844-580-WDBO. My name is Chris Crawford, and with me here today is the Oracle of Orlando, Joe Burt and Aaron Burt. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good morning, Chris.
Hey,
we're doing terrific. How are you?
Oh, terrific as well. What kind of calls are we going to be taking on the show today?
Well, as we have been doing now for over 30 years, Aaron and I are here to take calls that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances. As the intro says, this is the only program that's hosted exclusively by certified financial planner professionals. And we are, in fact, the true fiduciaries on the air this weekend. So if you have any questions regarding your personal finances, decisions that you're trying to make about an IRA, about a mutual fund, about stocks, real estate, long-term health care, annuities, life insurance, reverse mortgages, all those things and more, we are here to take your questions because we work with our clients on Monday through Friday for a fee doing financial planning and investment advice. But on Saturday morning, we are here absolutely free. And as I say, you know, unfortunately, they don't teach us about this stuff in school, and we go to these workshops, and we go to these free lunches and these free dinners, and we buy this product, and then we wake up 3 years later and try to figure out what we're owning, what we have, and how it works. Well, we're here to clean up that as well. So we're here to take your questions. The good news for you, if you have any questions about any of those items, just pick up the phone and dial these magic numbers because the lines are absolutely wide open.
844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO. You could also hit us up on the open mic feature in the WDBO app, free feature. Just click the open mic button, leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it live on the air. Get your question answered that way. But those phone lines are the easiest at 844-580-WDBO. And don't forget, you can watch, interact with the show on Facebook and on YouTube. Search On the Money or Certified Financial Group, and you'll get the live stream. You can interact with us there. Leave questions for the show there. If you're maybe a little radio shy and don't want to call in, I'll monitor those questions throughout the show, and we'll answer those on air as well. And, of course, those phone lines, though, 844-580-WDBO. And, Joe, do we have somebody standing by taking calls at the office today?
We do. Certified financial planner as well as CPA, Rodney Ownbees. They're taking calls. So if you have any questions that may be a little bit more of a personal nature, or you want a lengthy discussion with a certified financial planner professional and CPA, Rodney is there for you. And you could reach him at 407-869-9800, 407-869-9800, or 1-800-EXECUTES if you're executing a legal document. And Rodney also is the primary contact for our outpost down in the Windermere area. So if our listeners down in South Orlando or down in South Lake County, well, I don't want to trek up to Altamont Springs, you can reach Rodney right now and make an appointment for a visit down in our Windermere office. So you can do that by 407-869-9800.
All right, and let's go ahead. We've got a good topic here today for the show. And, of course, you don't have to call in related to the topic. You can call in with any questions that you might have for these guys. But We've got a really good one today, and I think something that is going to be prevalent to a lot of listeners out there. You know, and we're going to get inauguration next week. Biden is going to be sworn in. And, you know, we just had the Georgia vote, and it turns out that Congress is going to be controlled by Democrats. So what exactly does financial planning look like in a Democrat-controlled Congress?
Well, that's a great question, which is why we have it as our topic today. And at this point, you know, it's really all the answer is we're not quite sure yet. There's a lot of talk about what is the possibilities are because of what was put out during the campaigns and what was talked about the last 6 months and what's on the Biden website for his proposals and yada, yada, yada. And with a 50-50 split in Congress the way that it is right now, there's going to be some appetite, obviously, for some changes. But some of the more extreme things that were proposed may or may not get put in based off of how different people are going to end up voting that legislation through. And as we know, all things start in the House. All spending bills start in the House. And really, a lot of it revolves around tax proposals. And that's one of the things about with elections, you know, every election we have every 4 years, we have uncertainty which comes up with those proposals. And the uncertainty then causes difficulty in long-term planning for individuals and for corporations. And so there's a lot of unknowns now about what may happen, what might happen. And compounded with that is the fact that, you know, with some of the tax cuts that were put in 2017, a lot of those things sunsetted in 2026 already. And so which of those are repealed, whether that sunset still happens, whether they just do a whole new tax bill. There's a lot of things that we don't quite know yet. And so as planners, one of our challenges is trying to navigate this and make the best decisions that we can based off of what we know. So what we know is that there's been a lot of talk about targeting people who have income over $400,000 and them paying more taxes. Okay? We don't know whether that's individual rates, joint rates, both. It hasn't been defined yet, and until that definition is made, it's difficult to start making planning decisions about that. We do know that taxes are going to go up. Taxes are going to go up for everybody? Probably. Our tax is going to go up for the people who make over $400,000, whether you're an individual or a couple. I would say very high probability that's going to happen. Are the Trump tax cuts going to get reduced or renegotiated? Yes. So the Trump tax cuts cut taxes for everybody. And again, if you repeal those, everybody's taxes are going to end up going up. The higher earners' taxes are definitely going to end up going up. How much and at what levels? At this point, we really don't know. So what kind of planning can you do? Well, this is where you start planning and thinking about, you know, how much money and then what impact is that going to have on the markets and then on long-term saving and investing? So part of what we're doing right now is waiting for these proposals to start really flowing through, talking with people about doing long-term planning as far as what kind of income they need, what kind of savings they need in place, and then we're going to have to figure out ways to start deflecting or reducing income, especially on investments and earned income, in order to reduce tax rates. And so that goes into savings with retirement plans and things like that. Now, there's also proposals out there about reducing how much you can put in retirement plans. And so a lot of things still have to shake out, but I'm sure there'll be questions about that. And I see we got a question from Christine in Port Orange, so we can jump over to her.
All right, Christine, welcome onto the show.
Morning, Christine.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hi there. Oh, I'm doing okay. I was wondering, I've heard so many good things about Bitcoin, lots and lots of good things, and I was wondering if you have anything bad or anything knowledgeable to say about it.
Well, we don't have anything bad to say about it. Knowledgeable
I
is
I know what she heard good. What did you hear good about Bitcoin? Can we start with that?
Well, yes, that the profit margin, the profit has increased not only in the past 3 months, but if you've been in Bitcoin for a year, 2 or 3 years, it's increased 3, 4, 10-fold for some folks.
Sure.
I did hear one bad thing, and that is if you lose your password, you are up a creek. Like this one guy had $300 million, or I don't know if it was $30 million or $300 million, but he had 7,000 Bitcoin.
Right.
Yep, and he has... And he's lost his password, and it's not fun.
Right. Yeah, you can't recover it, and it that's lost. So what you have heard is all the good. You have heard the rising increase in prices, which is a function of demand and supply. That's economics 101. But there, you know, there for every upside, there's some downside. And there's no guarantees, of course, that the trend will continue. It's highly speculative. I would not put any money in it unless you could lose that money. So it's... I like to call it Beanie Babies on a cell phone. You remember the Beanie Baby craze years ago?
I do.
Okay. And what drove the price of Beanie Babies was simply the same thing as driving the price of Bitcoin. It's supply and demand. And the more demand that there is out there than there is supply, the prices go up and people start chasing returns. And this is, I think, what's happening right now. It's highly speculative. That doesn't mean that you can't buy it right and sell it right. People that got in years ago or just even last year, just in the last few weeks, have made money if you got out. But the question is when to get in and when to get out. And I would not invest in it unless you could afford to lose the money. There's no fundamental economics to it.
Yeah, with a Bitcoin, you have to find somebody who's willing to accept. So if you own a Bitcoin, what are you going to do with it, right? So you're buying it in anticipation of it increasing in value.
Yeah. At this point in time, I would say, what would you do with it? Because our currency is such and such here in the States and around the world. But what about the future? 25 years ago or 40 years ago, we didn't know everybody was going to walk around with a computer
sure,
in their pocket.
Sure, sure.
And so I'm wondering about the future. We have so many different languages in every country, for example, and we have so many different currencies. And In my mind, somewhere down the road, a few years, decades, at some point, in my mind, I'm thinking there will be one global currency, one global language. So that's, you know, further down the road, a little crazy. But I do think it's going to happen, and I'm wondering if this is the beginning of it.
Well, let's go to one global currency. I don't think that China or the United States would stand for a currency other than their own currency. So you've got that uphill battle. I understand what you're saying, and I understand, you know, if we could look down and had a crystal ball and see what 25 years down the road would bring, we would all bought Apple stock 25 years ago. But you never know what it is. And, but once again, it gets back to my basic point, it's highly speculative.
Right.
And I wouldn't invest in it unless you could afford to lose the money.
Right. It's a high risk, high reward
yes.
proposition. If you're willing to take a lot of risk and lose everything, you may end up making a lot of money, or you may end up losing everything.
Yeah.
And so you're buying it with the hope that it's going to appreciate, and you can't really use it at this time to spend anything. And the risks that you have, you know, is that A, you forget your password. B, it gets stolen from you, which I know someone who had a Bitcoin and his account just got emptied out. That was in the early days. C, that the value just completely crashes, or that there's a competitor who comes out that's better or different.
There are a lot of cryptocurrencies out there.
Or the government figures out how to start regulating it. And if the government figures out how to start regulating it, then the value of it's going to, in my opinion, would plummet. You just don't know. There's just too many unknowns about it, which is why it's a high risk, high reward proposition.
But it's like anything that's speculative. If you get in at the right price and you get out at the right price, you can make money. And I'm not opposed to it if you understand the risks going in. But I want you to understand that investments don't all go up and stay up. And Bitcoin has had its corrections as well. Okay, so we got to take a break. Christine, I really appreciate the call. And if you do it, let us know how you do. In fact, I'm sure we have some listeners that want to chime in this morning about Bitcoin. I'm sure they're out there, the success stories. But I'd like to as much hear to those folks that didn't perhaps do as well. And they can warn some of our listeners about their experiences. So we welcome your calls. Those numbers again, Chris, are
844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. Yeah, I like that. Best of luck, Christine. And if you do dip in, give us a call back and let us know how it goes. 844-580-9326. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With a certified financial group on WDBO. Hey, welcome back to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group, right here on WDBO 107.3 FM, mid AM 580 Orlando's News and Talk. Hey, our phone lines are open at 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. You can go ahead and fill up those phone lines right now, 844-580-WDBO. I do want to dive back into talking a little about the Democrat-controlled Congress and what it means for financial planning, but first, I want to hear a little bit about ScoreMyFunds.com.
Yeah, we've had a lot of interest in that since we announced it a few weeks back. ScoreMyFunds.com is an opportunity for our listeners to go on website, ScoreMyFunds.com, and insert their mutual fund or ETF tickers, which is either a five-letter or three-letter symbol, and we will then send you a detailed report, a fiduciary analysis of your investments. This is what we do for our clients on a regular basis. We grade the quality of their investments to let them know if they're good, bad, or indifferent. And this is a system that we've used for many, many years in working with our clients and selecting the funds that they have and monitoring them to be sure that they always have quality. So we offer that to you. It's absolutely free, by the way. So all you have to do is go to scoremyfunds.com, scoremyfunds.com. And what we're also seeing, too, is that the folks that are sending their stuff in, and we're glad to help you out, but now we're really recognizing that although some of these funds may be pretty good, I wonder if our listeners really know what it is that they own. And in a rising market, everything is good. But do you really understand what's going on within those funds? So we may take this to another level or two after that. But if you want to start with really knowing the quality of your investments and what we do for our clients and how we report to them on a regular basis, it's very simple. Go to scoremyfunds.com. ScoreMyFunds.com and put in the information, and we'll shoot your report, turn it around very quickly. It's absolutely free.
It's pretty interesting, too. You know, when we get the funds that the people are submitting, we know what type of fund it is, whether it's an equity or a fixed income or the type of fund. We're seeing a lot of equity mutual funds only. So people are submitting their lineups, and it's just all stock mutual funds, which means they're doing great when things are great. But then you get into the question that we go with a lot of clients is, you know, what's the proper allocation? How properly diversified are you? There's more than just having a quality fund. It then revolves around risk tolerance, diversification, and allocation. So that's the next step that I think Joe is referring to that a lot of these people need to have conversations with.
Yeah, you see, you understand when you put together a portfolio, you need a combination of both fixed income to protect you on the downside, so when the next pandemic hits, God forbid, that you're protected, so you don't take as big a hit, or we have another recession, or God knows what. So you want to have some fixed income generally in your portfolio. Unless you're very young, you can take the risk and ride the long-term trend of a rising stock market. But most people, unfortunately, don't have a lot of time, and they're at or near their retirement years, and they'd be feeling pretty good right now because the markets have treated us very well, particularly after the pandemic hit in March. Markets generally are up, and you're feeling pretty good. But the next downturn, with whatever that is, caused by maybe the coming tax law or who knows what, are you prepared for the down cycle? But in any case, we would be glad to opine on the quality of what you have. And if you want to take it to a deeper discussion, we also offer that. So that's scoremyfunds.com, scoremyfunds.com.
All right. That's some good stuff there. And, of course, our phone lines are open here at 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got Bill in Longwood. He's got a question about a required minimum distribution. And, of course, you can give us a call and fill the rest of those lines up at 844-580-9326, 844-580-WDBO. And, of course, somebody standing by at the office as well. We've got that number at 407-869-9800 or toll-free 1-800-EXECUTE as if you are executing a financial plan. And don't forget, check out the Facebook Live right now, Certified Financial Group, and also on YouTube as well. You can interact with the show live there. But, of course, we're here for another 30 minutes, 844-580-WDBO. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With a Certified Financial Group on WDBO.
Welcome back to On the Money, Central Florida's most listened to financial call-in show, brought to you by Certified Financial Group in Altamont Springs. It's the only show hosted exclusively by Certified Financial Planner Professionals. Monday through Friday, their CFPs provide financial planning and investment advice for a fee. But on Saturdays, the advice is absolutely free and has been for more than 30 years for their WDBO listeners. If you have a financial question you want answered by real fiduciaries, the lines are wide open. Call 407-869-9800. That's 407-869-9800. And enjoy the rest of the show.
Hey, welcome back to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group right here on WDBO. We are live in the studio taking your phone calls at 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. Joe Burt and Aaron Burt of the Certified Financial Group are here with us. They are certified financial planner professionals. And if you want to get in touch with them, you can, 844-580-WDBO. Let's go back to those phone lines. We've got Bill calling in from Longwood.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for holding on.
All right. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a question on the 2020, the required minimum distribution. You don't have to take it.
Correct.
But in our case, we took part of it. And my question is, for the amount that we didn't take, I hope they're not going to tax me 50% on that. That's my question. Sorry. I'm thinking their liability is just for the amount I took out.
Yeah, there's no, first of all, as you said, there was no requirement to take out a required distribution for last year. So anything you took out will be taxed to you as ordinary income. What you didn't take out, there is no penalty because you weren't required to take anything out.
Good. Okay, because, you know, with the government, I wasn't sure whether they'd come after me for 50% or not.
Well, you never know. Stay tuned, Bill, but let's hope that doesn't happen. Now here in 2021, you've got to look back at what your balance was on December 31st of last year and then do the calculation, and then you have to take that out by December 31st of this year.
And
go ahead.
I was going to say, and we've gotten the question a lot lately about whether or not, with the new stimulus bill, whether waiving required minimum distributions is going to be in that, and we have not heard anything about that. That has been basically excluded. Which I'm not surprised, because the government wants their money, and with the markets being where they are, really the reason they did that was because they were afraid of a recession, with the markets being low, people having to take required minimum distributions. But with the bounce back in the markets, I mean, for the most part, they're going to want people to start taking their distributions again this year.
Yeah, it's a good point. You may remember back when they decided that you didn't have to take your RMD. It was in the spring, early spring, and that's when the markets were down, and people that were taking RMDs were having to sell when things were down. So fortunately, the government said that you don't have to do it. Things are bad. Hold up. We'll push it off until next year, and that's exactly what happened. But, Bill, in your case, there is no penalty. You'll just have to pay taxes on the money that you received last year.
Super.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the call, Bill.
If you want to take Bill's line, you can. That's open at 844-580-9326. 844-580-WDBO is the number. You can give us a call right now. Let's go to Marty. He's calling in from Melbourne. Marty, welcome to the show.
Hi, Marty. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Appreciate you taking my call today.
Sure.
With the recent popularity with cryptocurrency, I was wondering if you feel that Bitcoin or any of the other cryptos should be a part of any financial plan.
Well, first of all, let's talk about what a financial plan is, Aaron.
Well, in our instance, when we do financial planning for an individual or a couple, we like to look at assets that they have. We like to look at income that they have. We factor in what expenses they have. We factor in what we know about Social Security and current tax law. We talk about future world, house purchases and car purchases and things that they're going to spend big chunks of money on. We factor in inflation and all those types of things. And then we stress test that and do a cash flow analysis to figure out, you know, how conservatively we can invest people's money and have a high degree of probability using reasonable rates of return, reasonable assumptions that they're going to have money left at their life expectancy and the probability of all of that happening. So that's the financial planning piece that we look at.
And let me stop you there.
Sure.
And the reason I asked Aaron to expand on that, because some people, perhaps like you, Marty, think that investing is financial planning, is two totally different things. Financial planning is a detailed look at where you are, what you need to do, so you don't look back 5 years from now. And then we do investment planning, and perhaps your question is, really, should Bitcoin be part of an investment portfolio? Is that more like more what your line thinking is, Marty?
Yes, sir. That would be correct. I appreciate the question.
That's okay. That's quite all right. So go ahead, Aaron.
So then the next step that we do with the planning, as we were saying, that, you know, we look at reasonable rates of return and what we need to do in order to make that plan successful. And so then you build a portfolio in order to hit those rates of return. When we look at building a portfolio, it's generally revolved around equity versus fixed income allocations and how much equity we ought to be having in order to make those return assumptions that we have. Building in Bitcoin within that introduces, in our opinion, a whole nother speculative level of investing. And I don't know if you were listening to our caller earlier today, but, you know, from our experience, Bitcoin has had an extremely explosive growth lately. And a lot of it, we believe, has to do with speculation of what's going to happen with currencies around the world and people just being excited about having something as it goes up. It's kind of a euphoria kind of thing, like the tulips in the 1600s, mm-hmm. or Beanie Babies in the 2000s. People are euphoric. They see something going up in value and they keep buying it, and it just keeps driving the price up. And at some point, you know, is that bubble going to burst? And we just don't really know. So Bitcoin in general is a high risk, high reward proposition because of the risk that you take in buying it, whether the risk being that it could be regulated soon, which would drive the price down, whether your Bitcoin could be stolen, whether people just decide that something better came out that they want to, that's more secure, that they want to buy. So from an investment planning for retirement planning, Bitcoin would not be something that we would put in a portfolio just because of the speculative nature of it. But if you wanted to buy it in order to take a risk, kind of like going to the casino and putting it all on black, I mean, you can do that.
Yeah, but we would never.
But we wouldn't use it as part of a portfolio for a financial planning client.
See, what we want to do is give our clients peace of mind, and what, you know, we can't guarantee anything in the investment world. But what we want to do is try to minimize explosions. Try to minimize you blowing yourself up. And so what we do is, as best we can, is to, as Aaron alluded to, we do what's called a Monte Carlo simulation. We stress test the portfolio and look at probabilities of success given past history. Now, once again, there's no guarantees. But if you throw in something really volatile, all that goes out the window. And I wouldn't want to send my client out the door saying, you know, in order for you to hit your goals, Bitcoin has to hit $125,000. And that's just not going to fly. But as Aaron said, it's speculative. There's nothing wrong with taking a gamble. People are betting on football this weekend. That's a gamble. And Bitcoin is the same thing. And I think, you know, I think that people don't look at that as gambling simply because, you know, it's got something to do with currency. It's got something to do with technology. It's kind of a little different thing. And in fact, it is gambling because there are no fundamentals to it. The only thing is driving it right now is supply and demand. So when that shifts one way or another, the price will shift up or down. So that's our story there, and I really appreciate the call.
Thanks, Marty.
Thanks, Marty.
Appreciate that call, Marty. You can jump on 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. We'll go out to Winter Haven now here. We got Donna joining us.
Hi, Donna.
Hey, Donna.
Hi there. Just give me a second here to turn the radio down.
Okay.
There. Yeah, I didn't want the echo. My family is about to come into some money for the first time ever. None of us have IRAs. None of us have any investments. We are like the poor people that win the lottery.
Well, terrific.
And this is an inherited IRA. Each mm-hmm. of us will be getting somewhere around less than $300,000, but it's in that area.
Okay.
And they gave us the choice the other day, roll it over or open an IRA. Now, when you know nothing about opening an IRA, all of us, well, the youngest one is in the 60s somewhere. All the rest of us are in our 70s up to 80, okay? We need to know very simply on this required minimum distribution, I have no idea when you get the money. So when you get the money or you get the paperwork or you get all this stuff, do you have to take a distribution in 2021 if you're already almost 80? And how do you handle this whenever you inherit it so old?
Donna, how old was the person who you're inheriting it from? It's not
90.
A spouse, correct? It's a
80?
No.
Okay.
No, she was 90.
She was 90, non-spousal, and you're inheriting from a non-spouse. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you have choices. Since it is in an IRA, and for those who don't know what an IRA is, it stands for Individual Retirement Account, which means that the money in that account has not been taxed. So any withdrawals from that account are subject to income taxes. The choices you have are to cash it out, pay all the taxes, and move on with... Taxes on $300,000 would be...
Well, it's going to be how old you are. And it's going to be taxed at your ordinary rates.
At your ordinary income tax, right? So what other income you have, Social Security, pensions...
Okay, that particular person who wants to cash it out is going to be, I think, 79 this year.
Okay.
What you probably don't want to do is cash it out in a lump sum because you're going to get with the highest taxes possible.
Right.
That's what I told her yesterday.
Yeah.
Right. So I was going through your choices here. Your choices are to cash it all out and pay ordinary income taxes on the money that you take. Or the next choice that you have is to roll it into what's called an inherited IRA or a beneficiary IRA, which takes the money, puts it in your individual name or that individual's, in the person who's inheriting its name, and then you take your portion, roll it into that account, and then you have to take a distribution on that account every year based off, actually, no, you don't have to take a distribution anymore. Did the person die last year in 2020?
2019.
Oh, they died in 2019.
Oh,
okay.
And there hasn't been any withdrawals from it?
No, it's just being settled now.
Okay.
So they died in 2019. Okay, so then they do take the withdrawals based off of their life expectancy. They changed the law. And the only reason I bring that up because in 2020 they changed the law to say that if you inherited an IRA for somebody who died in 2020 who was not a spouse, you have 10 years in which you have to cash that account out. But since they died in 2019, you fall under the old rules, which allow you to take a distribution based off of your life expectancy.
Off of my life expectancy, not the dead person.
Right.
Correct. So the rules are a little bit different based off of when they passed away. Now, there should have been a distribution taken in 2020. So that's a question as well.
I think the first one can be.
Well,
deferred.
That would be the estates had to have done that, and who would they give it to?
Well, it would stay in the estate, and then be distributed to the beneficiaries.
That would not be for us.
Right. Since they passed away in 2019, really, what you need to do is open an inherited IRA, either through if you want to invest it, we could help you do that. If you wanted to keep it in a bank, you could go to the bank and they can open an inherited IRA for you. And then your portion
has to be opened up at the custodian to start with. The original custodian has to open up the inherited, and then they can beneficiary IRA, and then you transfer.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Who is a custodian?
That's who has the money right now.
Who has the current account?
Where's the money living?
Right.
Okay. So it's the lawyer people and all that there.
No, it wouldn't be the lawyer.
No?
It wouldn't be the lawyer. It'd be living at a brokerage firm, most likely, or a bank. So they are the. Okay. Well, you'll need to contact the attorney. Who's settling the estate?
It's over in Vero Beach. It's Hendrickson.
Okay, so it's a law firm that's doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. You know, the thing about this is how to say this delicately. The beauty of IRAs is that there is no need to go through an attorney and pay legal fees to do this because it avoids probate. And that's the purpose of the attorney, is to get this thing from this deceased into your hands going through the probate court. But an IRA, a 401k, an annuity, a life insurance policy, by design, because they have beneficiaries named, avoids probate. What I would do is I would sit down with a certified financial planner, have him or her look at your situation, and guide you through this appropriately to save you some money. Now, to answer your question about the taxes that are due, there are going to be taxes that are due, and Aaron is right, because this person died before last year. The good news is that you'll probably be able to do what's called a stretch IRA, which means you can you have to pull the money out over your life expectancy. Take a little bit out every year and pay taxes. Your sister or whoever else got the balance of that money or the other part of it, if they cash it out in a lump sum, they will pay taxes on that entire amount in 1 year. And the other thing is, it's going to also affect their Medicare.
Yeah, Medicare.
Medicare premium.
Yeah, you don't want to do
that. I just heard about that yesterday. How does it affect their Medicare premium?
Medicare premiums are based off of your Medicare premiums are based off of your income. So if you have 1 year in which you have really high income, they look back at what your income was, and then the next year your Medicare premiums are going to go way up because the IRS thinks that you made a lot of money and you're going to continue to make a lot of money, so they spike your Medicare premiums.
Now, you can always get that reduced in subsequent years, but you have to fill out the forms and petition the IRS, Medicare, to reduce your Medicare premiums. But under no way, unless this person really needs this money, would I cash out in a lump sum, because if you take out $300,000 in a lump sum, you're probably giving up $70,000 in taxes right off the bat.
Yeah, there's no reason to do that. The best thing to do is to put it into an inherited IRA in their name. And if they don't want to take any risk with it, they just want it to be in cash, they can do that, leave it in cash, and then just draw from it as they need
it. Use it as a savings account. Take
it
out as they need it. That's the most important thing. Unless they need it, like I said, taking a lump sum and pay all the taxes.
All right, we gotta jump in, take a quick break here. Hang on, Donna, we can finish up with you here momentarily. We gotta take a quick break for the three big things that you need to know. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With a Certified Financial Group on WDBO. You're listening to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580. Remember, Financial Times calls them one of the top 300 firms in the country, and they've got people standing by at the offices taking calls at 407-869-9800. That's 1-800-EXECUTE, as if you are executing a financial plan. Okay, let's finish up here with Donna real quick, and then I want to hear a little more about Score My Funds.
Okay, Donna, here's what I would like you to do. Call Rodney Owenby right now in our office at 407-869-9800, 407-869-9800. Yes, and tell him what your situation is. We offer a no-obligation visit.
Please repeat the number. Because
I'm sorry.
407-869-9800.
Okay. 407-869-9, and we offer a no obligation visit. We do this all the time. We've got experts that can walk you through this paperwork and help you with it, and then you have to make some decisions as to where you want this money to live and if you need income today or growth for the future. But what you don't want to do is get yourself in a tax trap, and what you don't want to do is pay a lot of fees to make this transaction happen for you. So call Rodney right now, and he'll be glad to meet with you. We have an office down in the Windermere area, and we're up here in Altamont Springs. So I'm sure we can help you through this. But we really appreciate your call, Donna. And this is not uncommon. Aaron wanted to add something.
Yeah, the one thing that Joe and I talked about during the break, too, was you were lucky in the fact that last year they waived the RMD requirement. So you did not even they didn't need to take one last year. So 2020, there was no RMD requirement. But you definitely need to take one this year. So you need to get this solved so that you are in compliance with the IRS.
Yeah.
And guys, I just want to jump in here really quick. We have Wayne on the line who had a question, and I just want to be sure that he said want to clarify that you mentioned something earlier in the show that if the premium on your Medicare went up, you had to file something with the government to reduce it. But he had heard that as long as you file your tax return, that will automatically reduce it. And he just wants to clarify.
In the subsequent year,
yes.
Probably. Yes.
Okay. Wayne, does that clarify?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. All
appreciate
right,
the call,
just,
Wayne.
Just
thank
wanted
you
to clarify that. All right, we got about a minute here left, so let's go ahead and talk Score My Funds to close things out.
Yeah, once again, this is a free service that we offer to our WDBO listeners. If you want to understand the quality of the investments that you have, we'd be glad to do that for you using some fiduciary standards that we provide to our clients on a regular basis. It's the standards that we use when we select the funds, and we monitor those on a regular basis for our clients. So this could be investments that you have in your 401k, in an IRA, or an outside brokerage account. All you do is go to scoremyfunds.com. That's scoremyfunds.com. Put in the tickers, which is the five-letter symbol or the three-letter symbol for ETFs. And we will then send a report to you, and you'll see what you have. And once again, really, the key to successful investing is the combination of different kinds of investments. It's not just the quality. Quality is important, but 80% of your investment success comes from mixing them up correctly. But go to scoremyfunds.com, and you can reach Rodney Owenby right now in our office at 407 800-869-9800. And he'd be glad to talk to you about the annuity bailout program we got going on as well.
Yeah, number again, 407-869-9800 or 1-800-EXECUTE, as if you are executing a financial plan. And don't forget, of course, scoremyfunds.com. That is scoremyfunds.com. Another fantastic show in the book, gentlemen. We're planning
today
with a certified group on WDBO. Rich guy you've been seeing.